Hey Potters, welcome to episode 172 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. Woo! We are puddles of flesh because it's 108 degrees outside.
I was like, where are you going with that?
I was
going
to say puddle of sweat, but it's like, not quite, but it kind of feels that way.
Because I know yesterday we broke record. Did we break record today?
Probably.
Or it tied. Feels like we will. Yeah.
Yeah. So those who are in Los Angeles, we feel for you guys having had that heat wave very recently, because now it's visiting us. And now we're basically, if we haven't hit 110, we're coming really close to it.
Oh, we've hit it.
And needless to say, being a sweaty puddle is not conducive to working on cosplay.
I love all the people who have been asking me, you know, hey, when are you going to wear your Snow White costume? And I was like, probably November, because it's too hot for this madness. I am not taking this to any convention. And they're like, but you can be indoors. No.
No, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. You are still going to be a sweaty, puddly mess. I don't think
yes.
So.
If you try and go into convention centers in this area during the summertime, you will find that the AC literally cannot physically keep up with the temperatures outside, so that even when the AC is on full blast, when you're in a convention hallway, a center with, you know, thousands of other people with you, it's still probably a good 85 degrees in that hallway, even with the AC on. So when you're wearing something with voluminous poofy sleeves and a long skirt and a fully lined, tight-fitting corset, you're going to melt into that puddle. And it's not going to be pleasant, and you're probably not going to last in the costume very long, because sweat can also ruin costumes, not to mention make them smell. And you'll probably go right back up to your hotel room and take the costume off and put some casual clothes on so that you can be comfy and enjoy the con.
And not die.
Or at the very least get heat stroke or heat exhaustion, which are both actually, you know, as much as we joke about it, are actually very real things. When
it will happen,
going
happen.
To conventions like this, just like those who go to BlizzCon and such. And what am I thinking? The Atlanta August.
Oh, DragonCon.
Thank you.
That is a real deal thing.
It slipped my mind for a second, but
horrible.
Yeah, it's a very real thing. If you choose to go to a convention, even if you are indoors and it's 108 degrees outside, please do drink plenty of fluids that are not soda or caffeinated, simply because those will dehydrate you faster, actually. And make sure that you take breaks when you need them. And if you feel really, really overwhelmed, then please go stand in front of a fan or a vent, or, you know, flag down some help, because medical staff can bring you an ice pack. You know, take care of yourselves. Don't suffer needlessly, certainly.
You can suffer for your art on cooler days.
Yeah, just, it's not worth. You can always wear the costume another day. It's really not worth, you guys.
We can give all of this wonderful advice, but people are still going to do it. And once they experience it, then they realize, oh, I should have listened.
I have been in the hospital for heat exhaustion. I have personal experience with this. It is not pleasant in any sense of the word, you guys. In fact, I try really hard to push that memory out of my brain whenever possible. I literally don't want to remember it. I want it carved out of my brain with, you know, some sort of device so that I can't, because it's that horrific.
Haven't had heat exhaustion, but have been dehydrated before multiple times. This is why I constantly drink water on this show, because I get dehydrated ridiculously easy.
I will not make the same mistakes again. I've learned my lesson. It only takes once.
Only takes one time. It's all it takes. Hey, so speaking of conventions, where are we going next, Amber?
Where are we going next? We are going to Anime Fest.
Yay. We got our press passes approved, so yay.
Now, granted, Anime Fest is not for another month from the time we are actually recording this episode, so it'll probably be about 3 weeks, give or take a couple of days by the time you guys are hearing this. So that will be the next thing that we attend. And of course, Anime Fest being in the middle of August, you can be sure that we will be taking as good of care of ourselves as we possibly can. very casual cosplays, if cosplay at all. You know, we may just go in basic t-shirt and jeans if it's,
Normal
you know,
clothes.
hot enough. You know, we love cosplay, but we're also not going to put ourselves in danger over it. So, you know, I will probably pack a cosplay or two, but if I don't wear them, we'll still try and have fun at the convention.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to all the panels and just seeing what craziness they have going on this year.
Yes, and given that Anime Fest is a 4-day convention, not a 3-day convention, they usually have a great deal of content and a great diversity of content to choose from. So there's plenty to entertain pretty much any interest that you would find in an anime convention. And of course, we'll have a full review for you guys once we have come back and recovered our energies.
As Val furiously renders a lot of panel videos.
Conventions are exhausting, you guys. They really can be. You come back and the fatigue is real.
It's fun, but it's also very tiring.
But since we have talked extensively about the costume behind you, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Okay, so I'm gonna head over to the scare screen mode. Hang on, let's go to the share screen, share the screen. I'm gonna do, well, that's not the right window. Hang on. This would be the right window, maybe. There we go. Okay. I figured doing it this way would be easier because obviously you can't really see the mannequin too well behind me with the poor lighting. So I figure I'll just go through some of the photos that I've taken the past couple weeks. But as you notice, it has gone from getting some of the bodice done to getting it all done. The skirt is constructed. I still have to do all of the fun applique underneath it. Done with the lace, I'm done with the collar. So I've gotten quite a lot of this completed, and I'm really happy about that. And this is all while my dad has been recovering from some pretty major surgery. He actually helped me with cutting these out. So he's had a hand in my cosplay, and that's kind of sweet. So I've been finishing up my applique, getting everything attached, getting all the stuff on the weird sleevey things. I don't even know what they're technically called, but they're weird sleevey things. We're going to go with that. And I've even gotten them like attached onto the bodice, and this part was actually pretty easy, but I did it a little backwards. I should have attached the bottom section first and done the top section last. I did the top section first and the bottom section last, so I had to actually hand stitch the bottom section. It was not fun and it took a lot of time. I watched some Mystery Science Theater 3000 to keep me entertained. But I've definitely hit that point where I feel like Prince Edward from the movie Enchanted, where he's got those huge puffy sleeves and that really nice fitted bodice. I'm just one step shy of breaking out into song at any moment. It's ridiculous. I love it. It came out fantastic, but it is super ridiculous what this bodice has done to me. And of course, as always, I have christened my costume because I have blood on it. I didn't really bleed on it, though. I was pretty close to bleeding on it, but I thought that that was appropriate. So yeah, that's pretty much my cosplay updates for now. I don't have a whole lot going on other than this craziness behind me. I would like to ideally get it done by the end of August just so I can have it out of the way. And then I don't know when I'll wear it. I would like to do a location shoot with this because of how fancy it is. I think it has a lot of potential to really do a nice outdoor shot. Not doing it in the summer. I'm gonna shoot for like October, November. But then we run into the fun problem of trying to find a location that'll fit this because by then a lot of the leaves have fallen off on the trees and stuff is dead and it's like, well, it's not nice and meadowy. So I don't.
TRF.
I'd say maybe, but that's such a long drive, and I don't know if I can do that.
Yes, it
The long
is.
drive for an hour of photos. I don't think I can do that.
Well, no, then you just, you know, stay for the fair.
I can't do that this year. I don't have the time available to do that.
That's fair.
So yeah, I don't know when I'll wear this, but in between this, I'll start working on other costume plans. That's really all I got. Your turn.
What am I gonna hold up?
I'm gonna sure it's something with a lot of pins in it or puffy paint.
What do I always hold up?
Well, that's not true. You do both.
Come
It's
on,
not fair.
Potters. Potters, say it with me. It's a pile of fabric. And look,
There's
it's
more?
another pile of fabric.
You have two pinky piles.
Yes, they are pinky piles.
Oh,
Well, one is the outer shell and one is the lining. It's self-lined, so it's the same stuff.
there you go.
Yes, and this is actually all hand basted together, so there are no pins. I finished all the hand basting today. I just have to attach the two of them now and then put the sleeves on. And actually machine sew the stuff because everything is still currently hand basted. But I ended up, because of things going on in life, I have taken a short hiatus from working on cosplay right now. I don't have the motivation. And sometimes you just need to step away for a little bit. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. I want to emphasize that. There is nothing wrong whatsoever with taking a break from anything. It doesn't have to be cosplay. If you are absolutely not enjoying something, it is okay to step away. Because otherwise, you will grow to hate the thing that you are working on. And as cosplay is such a, an integral stress reliever for me, I don't want to come to hate it. And you guys wouldn't like me very much if I came to hate it. So I have been working on normal clothes. Because, of course, people have to have something nice on when they leave their abode. So I figured that I would just work on a couple of blouses, honestly. It's a great way to get rid of spare fabric, as long as you have enough to do, whatever it is you're working on. Because even a standard blouse with somewhat short cap sleeves, I think still took me 2.5 yards. I think it took me a full 2.5 yards of fabric. And usually our scraps aren't that big. So I got lucky. This actually used to be Irelia, for those of you who have seen me work on things in the past. And the teal fabric that I had for her is going to turn into another one of these. So I will have a nice pair of blouses. And that's also another good reason why, if you end up getting a cosplay that doesn't fit you anymore, or you just fall out of love with, it happens. We're human. Our tastes change. You don't have to throw it away. You can always take it apart and then, take the leftovers and make something else that's cool with it. As long as your scrap pieces are long enough for what you need, then yeah, go for it, man. The sky's the limit. You can do whatever you need. And if the pieces aren't large enough, if you have cotton squares, you can cut them into nice, neat pieces, and you can actually send them over to one of the quilts for veterans groups. And lacking that, if you have non-cotton fabric or fabric that's not large enough to make the 6-inch squares that the quilters need, you can always donate it to a local high school, a theater group, because they will happily take that fabric off of your hands, unless, of course, they've been inundated with fabric themselves, because they need it for their productions. Not to mention that home ec classes will also happily take fabric from you, because people have to learn to sew somehow, and having scrap fabric is actually a great way of doing that. So lots of different uses for, leftover cosplays that, don't fit or just don't fit your fancy. Nothing wrong with that. So probably for the next 2 weeks as well, you will see regular garments from me. But I will say, to be fair, cosplay is made of regular garment bases.
I mean, yeah, when you think about it, a lot of the pieces really are just the same stuff over and over again. It just looks so much more complicated because you're like, this thing has no seams. How does this magically sit on their body? And you have to sit there and break it down like, okay, she's actually wearing this type of jacket or this type of blouse or this type of sweater. And then you're like, oh, okay. And then put it all together.
Yep, it's the same basic shirt type base, the same basic skirt or pants type bottoms. You can alter for cutouts, you can alter for style, for cut, for body type, but it's all still the same building blocks. It's like Legos. You can make all sorts of really cool things, but it's all the same building blocks. So, in a way, working on garments, if you get bored with cosplay, is actually a really great way of keeping up your skills. Because you need to know how to make regular garments before you can realistically make cosplay that you'll be happy with. And you get nice things to wear out of the bargain, which is awesome.
One of my favorite things to do with old cosplays is because I use a lot of really random fabrics that I can't really utilize for normal everyday clothing, or they're in such weird pieces. It's like I can't do anything with it. Is I like to sometimes re-sew it all together and use it as like lining for bags. Because I like to make a lot of bags, or I'll do it as fun patchwork for aprons. Yeah, there's some cool things you can do with your leftovers.
They've got some pretty cool stuffed animal patterns now too, so that if you have smaller pieces, you can just make a really cool plushie. And even if you don't need the plushie, I'm pretty sure a lot of kids' hospitals would be really happy to get plushies like that, as long as obviously they have to be sanitized. So, with that, we will finish off our cosplay updates segment of the show, and we will move on into a lovely product review segment over types of paint. Hopefully, you guys enjoy.
All right, Potters. So we're going to be doing something a little bit different on CosPod. This is a segment that we're going to do for the next couple of months, and it's going to be a product comparison. So instead of focusing on one particular item and reviewing it, we're going to show you multiple items and how to use them, and so that way you have a better idea of what you can utilize for your next project. It's going to be things like, acrylic paints, looking at different types of fabric paints, different sealers, best way of priming your props and your armor. So we thought we would start this off a little bit simpler with one of the most basic things you need to figure out when you're working on your costume, and that's what kind of paint do I use? We're going to take a look at several different types of paints that you can utilize for foam, craft foam, woods, making props, your armor, anything that is not fabric related, basically. What we decided to do is we're going to utilize craft foam as our base, and we're actually going to do two different types here of with the craft foam. It's just going to be craft foam by itself, and then we have craft foam with a Mod Podge base on it. And before you ever use any type of foam or porous material, you definitely want to prime it with something. And after we do the painting session, you'll understand why you need to prime it. We're going to do fabric paint. There's going to be two different types of acrylics. I'm going to use Ceram Coat and Folk Art. These are the two that are usually the most common that you'll see in most craft or hobby stores, so that's the reason why we selected them. We're going to do an enamel paint, and then the last one, which you see the swatch that's not here, it's going to be spray paint. I've only did a spray paint with a Mod Podge coating on it because spray paint tends to eat foam, specifically craft foam. So just to be safe, I went ahead and pre-prepped it, did the painting and the base of it just to make sure everything was cool, ready to go. So that way we can just pop it down. You guys can see what the differences are. Let's start off with the fabric paint. And the reason that we selected fabric paint is fabric paint is flexible. And it's one of those things that is really easy to pick up. You can find it at most locations. And just to help keep everything consistent in terms of the painting quality, I'm going to be using the exact same type of brush the entire time. This is Silk Bristles, so that way there should be a nice smooth finish all the way around. Because I want you guys to be able to see and compare exactly how everything is going. All right, so fabric paint. And I know a lot of people who utilize fabric paint for their foam projects because it's flexible. Now, it does typically require you to have more layers depending on the viscosity of the paint, and it does take a little bit longer to dry. That's just one layer of paint on both of them. And I think you guys can already see what the differences are between the fabric paint on craft foam without the sealer, fabric paint with the sealer. It's so much cleaner and clearer here versus here with a little bit more muddy. So while that is drying, we are going to clean our brush and we're going to move on to the Ceram Coat. This is my absolute favorite paint to work with. I like Ceram Coat because it doesn't require a whole lot of layers to get the coverage that you need. It's a little bit more thicker paint than others. You'll still have to put on a couple of layers, but the coverage is much better. Yeah, you can see with the Mod Podge version. This is why you prime. You prime because even on the best foam or the best thermoplastic out there, they're porous materials. It'll absorb whatever paint you put on top of it. So next up, I'm going to do the folk art paint. So here's the regular, here's the Mod Podge version. And I think folk art is okay. I personally like their metallic line. I think their metallic are really rich and detailed, but I find that their paint is a little watery for my taste. So that you know, it has pros and cons. Sometimes it's got good coverage, but I find it streaks a lot because it's so watery. And I mean, it's so watery that I don't have to redo my brush. So I mean, you know, pros and cons to it. But it's also so watery that I could do this. I can take up the excess paint from that one and go here. So yeah, you tend to see a lot more of the brush strokes with folk art. But for some reason, most of their metallic paints are very, very rich. But that's the thing that I really dislike about folk art is that it's incredibly watery. And it leaves so many of these open strokes and spaces. You almost need to use a sponge to stipple it on. So you can see for another quick comparison. So there's the fabric paint, there's the ceram coat, there's the folk art. Next up is going to be the enamel paints. Now I am not a fan of enamels, and I'm going to tell you why. But enamels are great for woods or for pieces of your cosplay that are never going to move or bend because it's meant to dry really hard and able to withstand a lot of damage before it starts chipping, which is great. Having said that, if you have a project that's moving or if you're using some type of foam, I would not recommend it. You can find enamels in most craft stores. Usually they'll be with the acrylic paints, the nice artistic canvas acrylic paints. And they can be a little expensive, but like I said, once it sits and it dries hard, and it will crack if you put it under enough pressure. That's why you have to use it on materials that are not going to move or bend. But some people really like them, especially for the metallics, because they give this really nice glow and shine to it. This one is the Mod Podge version. This is the non-Mod Podge version. So let me go ahead and add this to the pile so you guys can see the comparisons. Yeah, it's crazy how different these are, but it's also why ceram coat is seriously one of my favorites, because you get full coverage with two or three layers, as long as you remember to prime the product that you're working on. Everything else tends to be very thin, or requires multiple layers, or it requires you using sponges or certain types of brushes just to make sure you get some good even coverage. Now the last one is going to be the spray paint, which you can see, spray paint. This is spray paint with Mod Podge because you don't want to use spray paint without any type of primer on foam because it will eat the foam, which is why there's only going to be one version available. And this was only with two coats of paint. It was just enough to kind of spray it on. And it got some pretty decent coverage on it. It didn't dry as cleanly as I would have liked, but that's because of the heat and the humidity. Pretty much all of these paints, with the exception of the spray paint, you can do indoors and you can have a temperature controlled area. Spray paint, because of how volatile it is, you really need to do it outside. You need to wear protective gear, wear your mask, all that stuff. And if it's really humid or if it's hot, it's going to affect the paint. It's going to affect the drying time. And that's essentially what happened here. So it's not bad on the coverage, and it actually got a good seal of a good golden glow on it, but it's very obvious that there are some spotty marks. So now that you've seen all of the paints in action, you've seen what it looks like after it dries, after one layer, the next thing that we have to think about is durability. With the fabric paint, this is probably going to be the most durable if you're using it on a flexible costume, because fabric paint is designed to flex. It's meant to go on fabric, therefore it flexes with fabric. So you're not going to see this crack. Same over here. Chances of this cracking and flaking off are going to be very, very limited. Still hasn't fully dried though. Now when it comes to the acrylic paint, it'll have a little bit of flex to it, depending upon how you prime it. If you prime it with gesso or with tacky glue watered down or white glue that's been watered down, it's going to bend a little bit more than if you use wood glue or Mod Podge. So while it initially won't do much with one layer, if you start putting on like four or five or six layers, it's going to start cracking really quickly. It also has a tendency to rub off if you don't properly seal it. So you're not going to see a whole lot of change here, but you will definitely start seeing it over time, after multiple wearings, things will start flaking and coming off. And actually, I can already feel this flaking a little bit. And it's going to be the same thing with the folk art because it is also an acrylic. If you use the canvas acrylics, it's kind of a combo between the enamels and ceram coat, I find. It's thicker, it's stronger, it's meant to hold its shape once it's dry because it's going on canvas. But because it is thicker, it has a greater chance of it flaking off. So that's just something to kind of keep in mind. If you want it to use paint that's flexible, you probably don't want to go for that type of acrylic. You may want to go for the lower grade acrylics, and make sure that you have a good, solid, flexible base for it. So here it is with the enamels, which is still drying. This is also my other pet peeve with enamels, is that enamels can take, depending on the brand, up to 12 hours to dry. Now, this one's going to be interesting because this one has more layers of Mod Podge than the rest, than this top row here. And the reason that I did that was so that the spray paint wouldn't eat the foam. So there's a good chance that this is not going to crack or break for quite some time, but it's not going to take much effort. I'm sure if I keep doing this after a while, it's going to, oh yeah, I can already see it. It's already starting to crack a little bit. Oh, crud. Yeah, it didn't take long. I mean, spray paint does have some give to it, which is really, really nice. But if you're doing something like this, it's not going to hold its shape. But if you're doing something like this, a good soft curve, yeah, it'll hold the paint. It'll hold the paint nicely. Again, a lot of it is based off of how you prime it. If you don't prime it properly, it's not going to hold. That's all that you guys need to know about the different types of paints. And you can use any one of these on any of your foam, your AVA foams, your thermoplastics, your woods, even like the acrylic Christmas ball spheres. Like you can use these for a number of projects, but hopefully this guide helped you figure out what's going to work best for your next prop.
We do genuinely hope that proved helpful for you guys. I know that it can be sometimes a little difficult to judge the information that you get on the internet, so that even when you research this stuff, it's not quite the same as actually seeing it in person.
I can speak from experience with that, with something that I just threw away today, no less, was a Warbla piece of armor. And I don't even know, it wasn't really armor, it was a weird chest thingy, whatever. But everybody told me use wood glue on it. So I did, and it was the worst thing I had ever done because that thing cracked horribly. It sounded great when I folded it in half. It just went crunch. It was, oh, it was, I felt so happy doing that. You have no idea.
Just pro tip, kids, if you need something to be able to flex, generally with the human body, which is flexible, you have to also use paints, adhesives, and sealers that also flex.
Yes.
Because otherwise they do exactly that thing. They will make a beautiful or horrifying, depending on where you are, crunch. And actually, shortly, we will actually be doing a product review on Hex Flex, which
Yeah.
is a flexible paint and sealer combination from TNT Cosplay Supply.
I will be using it on a costume that I'm going to be working on pretty soon. So I'm excited to try this out. I'm very curious because it's all this piece that I'm making is 100% craft foam. I'm not doing anything special or fancy with it. So we'll see how well that works with it.
Oh, that's the other thing I should have shown. I assembled my Zelda armor. But
Oh, yay!
it's sitting on my furniture, which is about 15 feet that way. I can't reach it from here. But
Oh, my arm doesn't fit.
I assembled it, but I'm genuinely not happy with it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I may end up redoing it. It's more that the pattern works in a general sort of sense, but it's not custom fit to me. And the way that it's shaped is a little awkward. And it doesn't sit well on my shoulders. It continually wants to fall off my shoulders,
Ah.
which means that if I try and put snaps on it to hold it together, it's going to pull my dress outward and it's going to pull it
Right.
off my shoulders, which means I'm either going to have to use magnets or I'm going to have to start over and custom draft. I won't be able to use the one that's from the pattern envelope. It happens. You know, experience gained.
Yeah, it's something you don't know until you dive into it, and then you're like, oh, well, A because B because of C, so yeah.
Yeah. And that sort of armor isn't something like I have been test fitting it as I go. And you don't really know all of the flaws until everything is together in its final shape.
Right, exactly.
Because plastics and foams kind of act a little funny when you try and shape them. So it's the right shape, it just doesn't stay where it's supposed to stay.
Totally get that, yeah.
All right. But otherwise, I believe that is all we have for you guys for this episode 172 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. We would like to thank you guys for listening to the show. Thank you for sharing the show. And thank you for sticking with us for these 6 years of broadcasting that we
Yay.
have brought to you guys. And so, of course, in return, we do ask that you guys engage with us, which you can do via any of our social media, and you can find that here.
I'm not doing the Star Wars crawl this time. That was a pain in the butt to do last time, but it was fun.
And we also ask that you do continue sharing the show to people that have not found us yet. I did want to let you guys know that we are now officially HTTPS. We are secure now. So if you guys have not cleared your browser since the last time you visited the website, please do so that Chrome does not complain.
We don't want Chrome yelling at you because our site is secure. We totally promise.
Yes. Well, I don't know that we could promise, but
I
we try really hard.
can promise as of 7/20/2018 at 8:02 p.m. and it's secure this very moment.
But at any rate, we would like to make sure that you guys can view the show freely and that nothing is, you know, stopping you from viewing the show, unless, of course, you know, the entire internet goes down. Barring that, we want to be able to share this stuff with you guys, and we want you to be able to share it with other people as well. So, of course, thank you so much. We will see you guys next time in episode 173. Happy cosplaying, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Take care.